Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It is good for us to be here. I missed you guys for the most of time. I don't get that vibe, that missing vibe. You guys just don't know, but okay. I think Pastor, our dear Pastor, he's just won your heart and took your heart. I think, okay, let's do it. But you want me to go? He takes over and just go. Come on. I don't know. I'm not getting missing vibe. Come on. Hallelujah. But you know, you should know, we have them with us for maybe this week, maybe next week, and then upper week, I think they'll be away. We have Pastor Maro with us today. He was with me in Ogbawa yesterday. Pastor Maro with us today. He pastors our church, assistant pastor of our church in Okada. And then Pastor, he ministered to you yesterday. He's the pastor of our church over at Okada. The school is on break. We had some, just people, so they're back here with us, and we really want to celebrate them. Can you please give them a big, big hand? And on Monday, that is tomorrow, is Pastor Ehisi's birthday. It's his birthday. So if you have his contact, you just send a message and just let him know you love him. And maybe you want to go beyond the sending a message. Maybe you want to send something also. You can get to, where's his wife? Okay, Pastor, you can, is in the, but his right hand man is here. So you can get to Pastor and say, Pastor, I want to get, it's not for you, for your pastor. Yes, you share it. All right, and finally, two of them, their birthdays are September. Yes, September what? September 1st. And it's September 22. Two of them are pastoring together. So you are brothers, right? Literally brothers. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. So it is good for us to be here. I'm happy to be here. I'm seeing beautiful faces. And you guys just, I think, Pastor, when I came, I was seeing people. You guys just shouting, like, ah, people just shouting, says the glory of God. But I trust I'm bringing some more glory to you today. In Jesus, the God of God. And over at Ubo, we had a great meeting. We had a great meeting over. It's so powerful meeting. God saves. And just, people just got stirred up. It was just really exciting. It was good to be there. And I thank God for what's happening there. And I think next stop is Okada. I'll be in Okada just now. So next stop is Okada. When they resume, we'll be there just now. It's going to be powerful. Amen. We are doing so well here. I'm excited to see you. I'm happy you're here. I'm seeing a new face here, there. So it's good you're here today. It's good you're here today. Amen. Amen. Are we ready?
Yes,
are we ready?
Yes,
when the devil comes for a passionate believer, a faithful believer. And we want to appreciate those who've joined us online, all our members everywhere join us online. Come on, come on. We love you. We love you. We appreciate you. Yes, yes, yes. It's beautiful. You know, we know that you're there, and so we're excited to have you with us today also. All right. So let's get into this talk. When it's important that we understand this character, this attribute of the devil. There's this character that everybody, believers, every passionate believer should and understand. You must know this. If we don't have this, if we don't know this, then our work will be significantly affected. All right? And it's important that we must continue to grow and grow in Christ and continue on our way. We must know this character and these attributes of the devil. Right? You know, the thing is, as ministers, the church, I don't see that a fault. When you come to church, we are telling you something that you should do, something you can do. We're giving you this, we're bringing these things, these truths to you. There's some more you can do. There's some more you can do. So we unwittingly. Not we. The devil takes advantage. The devil takes advantage of what we are teaching to go against you. Are you here? Glory, glory, glory. So, like I was saying just now, you want to be better. You want to do more. You want to serve God. You want to give more of your time. We talked to you about prayer, Right? We talked about prayer. We talked about reading the Bible. We talked about witnessing, out coming out to talk to people about Jesus. We talked about a lot of things. And these are the things we say, these things you should do, these things you can do. And the thing is, because you are a passionate believer, because you are a faithful believer, because you are a believer, you begin to want to. So you begin to take steps in that direction. You now begin to do something. You begin to do more than you were doing before. But there's a challenge. I told you about the devil. There's a challenge of the devil. He comes he lies, and so he deceives. I talked to you about, I said that's one aspect, that's one thing. He lies, he distorts the truth, he deceives. And then the next thing is that there's something I told you some years ago. I said he also distracts. He wants to distract you. Sometimes it's not about lying to you, it's about distracting you. He wants to distract you such that you are not able to continue in that line. You are distracted with something else. Something else comes into your field, into your life, and so the devil distracts, he deceives, and then he also distracts. It's very important that we understand that. And sometimes you're going in your work and then you get distracted. You start to get busy about other things. You get busy about the affairs of this life. You are distracted. You are not deceived, you are just distracted. But there's this other aspect, this one is very important. I think, as I said, this is very important. I share things and you get me saying, this is very important. This one is very, very important. Yes, because I'm talking about, you see, I said when the devil comes for a passionate believer, a faithful believer, you like, the thought is, if you are passionate and you are faithful and you are on this journey, then he will come for you. And what he wants to do now is he also condemns. He comes to condemn you. He comes to accuse you. He condemns also. And the thing is, you are thinking that because I am on my way, because I am on the way, I am doing this thing, then there's no room. There should be no room for condemnation. There should be no room for accusation, right? I'm on my way, and I want to serve God. I didn't used to spend time with the Lord before. Now I'm spending time reading the Bible. I didn't even used to do church before. Now I'm coming to church. I'm regular. I'm Sunday. I'm Wednesday. You see, imagine a believer. I'm preaching now, so just stay here. When we arrive, you enjoy it. Now you get the point. Imagine a believer moves from Sunday to coming Sunday, Wednesday. Is now, you know, I'm more engaged than I was before. And then he moves, then he begins to read the Bible. You know, there was this message Pastor shared with us, and it was so powerful, and it touched my heart. And now I'm reading my Bible. I'm going to take some time. I'm a chapter or two chapters. And now I'm praying. Before, I didn't even used to pray before. And now I'm praying. You know, it's not really, I'm not a prayer warrior. No, Pastor. Don't be prayer. But that message you shared some weeks ago really stimulated my heart. And now I pray. You know, I'm praying now. I'm excited. But, so in this case now, you have not been deceived. There's no lie. You get it here. There's no lie here. In this case also now, there's no distraction. In fact, you are more focused now. You are not even focused. So you see, this believer is doing better. This person is doing better than he used to do before. I'm already on the journey. This is very important. It's very important, especially when you come to the church where we're teaching the word of God and we're bringing truth and light like this. So now I'm on my way and I'm not doing this stuff. So I'm not deceived now. I'm not reading my Bible. In fact, I bought a Bible. If somebody bought a Bible, I bought this Bible 4,000 and you keep the Bible down, you're reading maybe from time to time. And then now you are even praying. Then now I make midweek service. In short, in all my life, I can't remember going to church midweek service as much as I have been going now for the past 2-3 months. So come on. I'm even coming to church now more than before. You are now on the way. This is not good. And somebody says, now I give offerings. Let me get to money. I even tithe. I mean, now, for crying out loud, somebody says, see, Pastor, since I said coming here, the message and the light and the truth, somebody just sent us a message some time ago and said, now I'm tithing. I mean, I'm regular now. I'm more fixed now. I'm doing all that. You see a believer on the way. This is not a believer that is deceived. He's not now deceived. Sure, deception has passed. Because now I'm in the light. Now, this is no longer, I'm not distracted. I'm giving my attention to the Lord. And now I'm following up and doing the things. This one, well, Now, the last thing, and a vital truth you must understand, is that the devil comes to accuse, to condemn you. You must understand, see him also as the accuser. In fact, the word Satan means accuser. That is the meaning of the word Satan. Accuser. Are you here? Revelation chapter number 12. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, right? And the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. The accuser of our brethren is what? Is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Are you here? So, you see there, it talks about the devil, and it says clearly that he's the accuser. He says the accuser of our brethren. But I want to just throw some light on this scripture before we move on. Maybe we'll come back to it. So I want you to keep it there in your heart. It says, the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And it says he is cast down now. So when he says which accused them, you see now he says that Satan who stand before God, and he accuses the believers day and night. He accuses the brethren, like I said, day and night. But now he is cast down. He's no longer with God accusing the believers now. He is now with them accusing them. He can no longer accuse the believers before God. Now you get this point. Now he's cast down, so he's no longer with God accusing the believers. Guess where he is now? He is now with the believers, engaging and accusing them. Two objects can occupy the same space. Huh? At the right hand of God is Jesus Christ. Huh? Right now for us, and so he is cast down. His mission now is not, because he can't do anything on that side. He cannot separate us from God. It's not possible. From God's side, we are loved. The very fact that Jesus Christ is risen and seated at the right hand of God, it means that right hand now is occupied. There's no place for him to stand there. He can't try it. There's no point. The very person, our very salvation, is right there. And now he's cast down, and he is now here at our own right hand. He's before us now, accusing us. His accusation now is, I'm talking about a passionate believer, is to ensure that the guy stops what he's doing. Is to make him weaken his resolve on the path that he's already on. And so, if you are here right now, and you are, this is very vital. You're on the road. You find that you are on the journey, and you are making that progress. You started doing something, but somehow you stopped. It is because you've not understood this part of the devil. You stop not because there is error in your life. You stop because the devil emphasizes weakness. He emphasizes your insufficiency. And then because you are on the journey, many times believers think that now that they are on the journey, that the devil will not leave them alone. He doesn't only accuse you when you fail, he accuses you when you are faithful. He says that you are not faithful enough. That's accusation. He doesn't now disturb you, he doesn't accuse you when you did not pray. Hear me, I'm preaching already now. He disturbs you that your prayer is not long enough. He doesn't disturb you that you did not read the Bible now. He doesn't accuse you because that one is a matter. You are past that place. You are not reading the Bible. He now says, what are you even reading, sir? Do you even understand what you are reading? In short, did you read the Bible yesterday? So I picked my Bible to read on Tuesday. The accusation is, did you read the Bible yesterday? Okay, you even read yesterday, okay. All through last week is chapter 1, chapter 2. I mean, a whole week, guy, you are a failure. He will keep accusing you. It is important that believers understand this fact. That, let me say it like this. He will never stop accusing you. Accusations never finish in his hand. In fact, the way you now begin, his accusation now focuses on you. And keeps telling you that you are not enough. What you did is not enough. How far you have gone is not good enough. You will never be good enough. So you think now that I am reading Bible, now that I am taking a step, he will not leave me alone. No, he will not leave you alone. He doesn't leave you alone. He now begins to make you feel, feelings get into the place there, that I have not read enough Bible. And so what happens? What am I supposed to do now? Don't even bother reading the Bible. After all, you didn't read yesterday. How can somebody who has not read the Bible for 3 days, let's say it happens, it so happens, and you now pick up the Bible to read today because now you are vexed. And you now say, no, I have no. In the name of Jesus, Lord, Pastor, I've seen this thing at Slack 2 days ago. Now I'm going to read the Bible and you pick it up. And the next thing is, Monday is not read. Tuesday is not read. Wednesday is not read. Bible reading plan, you did not follow. My friend, cover that thing and go and wash me. You get what I'm saying here? He says, come on, he says, yeah, you know, say, it's true. And come back. When the devil comes for a passionate believer, he will accuse him and say he's not sufficient. He will say that he doesn't really love you. He will emphasize your weakness. The thing is, he never stops. There's no point in your journey that he stops. I've told you this story many times. I was in our church over to where we started ministry on campus. A student on campus. I mean, you started ministry. I didn't say 3 people got angry and started the church. I'm preaching by myself from place to place. And people are coming together. And we're able to come together. And we've been growing. I've been bringing people together. We rented a place where it now became our own place. All the time, all the halls we were using were like viewing centers. And when we finish, we pack up our equipment and lock up, and then we come and we're making progress. I mean, we got a hall, painted the hall, everything, our own place. You could go to church now on Monday, Tuesday, any time of the day, and have our own hall, our own facility to ourselves. You know, something great when you think you're making progress. I got to that place and I was praying. You know what? You know, that I was feeling like on top of the world. No, you don't understand. No office in the place. No way you could call it office. It was very small. It's very small. You can't prepare. There's no office. So I just have one table and chair, one corner like that. I'll just sit down there and form. I know one day I'll get a church office and I'll be a big pastor and I'll preach. And I'm reading my Bible and I'm praying. I'm excited. I'm looking at the place. This is my place. You can be outside or do whatever you like, but this is inside my church. And somebody can come to church for prayers. We can come to church for counseling. We didn't have all that before. I'm making progress. And I was excited. You think the devil will not leave me and walk away and say, oh, good. No. Pastor. This is your church, safe. Does it make sense in your mind? This church like this. Is this a church? No, you call this one a church. I'm not telling you. I'm telling you truth. I told you the story before, so you're not making it up in this message. And you know, when I'm teaching and I'm praying for you, and the Lord said, go and teach them this. I'm bringing the word of God to you. I'm telling you, because I told you the story before. So I'm telling you how it happened. I'm sorry. And he says, this is a church. Really, really. How many people do you have in this church? He said, let me tell you, he said, if you are a real pastor, Bishop David Oyedepo, you know how many people attend that church? That time he has built that 50,000. I mean, that you now come here. I mean, our total attendance, we pray fast and bring everybody to that church. We will not reach 40. When we are doing this, I mean, that is the whole location worldwide, international. No websites, no anything. Just that, blah, blah, blah. And all that. And then the altar, we couldn't even raise the altar. It was just rock on the floor. I have the picture. This is the thing you tell me. And I would have given them the picture to show the place. You show the place there. And all that. I have the picture. I have it on my phone right now. I wish I gave it to you. And we have to have the pictures. No unraised platform. So it's not all one platform. But I was excited about what I was doing for God. And then was there. Again. Let me tell you what you do. Just close this thing down. Close this thing down. It doesn't make sense. You're just spending your life. You are wasting your life. Your life will just pass. You graduate just now, the whole thing will finish, and you are doing nothing. If you, I mean, real churches, real people, they are making impact, you will see their impact. This is not impact. You are calling this impact. How many people is in this church? That thing there was happening right there, inside that place. When I was, the joy that I felt began to sink. And I said, see, I told you, I've said what I told you. I said, I prayed. I just began to feel depressed and down. And really, yes, you could just get people and say, see, I don't think we are good enough. This, what is this? I don't know anybody here. None of you. So you can imagine, I mean, dead many years ago. And then I said, see, even if I will be the pebble, small pebble inside your shoe, devil, to make you uncomfortable, I will continue to do this ministry. I will continue to strive. You see what I'm saying? The good story, the book part, you already know that part. I've told you that part several times. But I think you should see that in the life of a believer, a faithful believer, who wants to make progress in his work with God, accusations will still keep coming. He will always say you are not sufficient. That you did not try. What do you think you have done? Okay, now you even said you read Bible. Have you even finished Bible? I mean, you said we finished last year. Did you finish? You started again this year. This year has even gone again. You are not finished. And so this is, he comes to condemn you. And because I said he cannot accuse you before God, he accuses you right here. And then you are here. And then guess what happens? You are now forced. He wants to let you. You are now forced to let go of the things that you are doing. You will think that as a pastor, I've built a ministry where people are giving, participating. We have leaders. Or the pastor working with me and doing all that kind of stuff, he will not leave me alone and say, oh, this one has finished, let me go. No, he will keep accusing. He will keep doing, you are not enough. I mean, okay, wait, you know that you are even a pastor. Say, how many hours did you pray last night? No, I agree, pastor, no problem. Real pastors, 6 hours straight though. Were you not sleeping last night? Remember, you know that yesterday night, you woke up to pray. You started praying and you slept off. True of us. So why are you praying now? What's this prayer for now? It's to cover up all the nonsense you have been doing. Because if you have really been praying, if you didn't go 6 hours, then what gives you the right? What do you feel? What do you think that you can do? And let me tell you what you do. Instead of praying now, just stop the prayer. Go and do something else. Don't worry. You have messed up already. Maybe by next week you can pick it up. If you are here and you are real, you would have gotten this thing. You have gotten there. He keeps accusing, no matter what you do. In fact, his accusations increase because you are on your way. Because now he can no longer stop you. He can't really stop you now. You're on fire. The only way he can stop you now is for you to stop. It's for you to say, all right, I'm not doing this thing again. I cannot. He cannot take your hands off the wheel. His accusation is to cause you to weaken your resolve and then yourself you stop. We always think that something has to be wrong before the devil comes in to spoil it. Right? You feel that something has to be wrong. I'll give you scenarios. You feel that something has to be wrong. Let me give you, go to Zechariah. Zechariah, I gave you this chapter number 3. Let's put it up there. Let me show you something here. Zechariah chapter number 3 and verse number 1. And he answered, and he showed me Joshua, the high priest. You see, Joshua, the high priest. This is the high priest. He's not a bad guy. And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord. And Satan, accuser, standing at his right hand to resist him. Are you there? Verse number 2. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that has chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this what? A brand plucked out of the fire. I mean, this guy is a brand plucked out of the fire, and you are still here accusing him. Next verse. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. Now I purposely wanted us to go this deep because I wanted to show you case number 1, which is the case we are all aware of. When the devil stands by you to accuse you because of error, because of your faults, right? Because of your failures, when you fail. You are accused. He was wearing a filthy garment, so the devil was there. No problem. You see that there. But do we think that when you are on your way, or when there's no fault, that he will not still come? On your way. You know, we read the Bible small 2 hours. You know you could read, I mean, even if you read 4 chapters every day, the devil will still tell you that 4 chapters every day, real Christian that want to grow and love God. I mean, you should have finished this book by now. Now. Come on. So there's fault here. But also when there's no fault, we don't need to turn the scripture. I told myself there's no point to do that. In the Garden of Eden, when the guy showed up, was there any error in the Garden of Eden? There was no error. Come on. I mean, everything was what? Perfect. We don't need, I don't need to turn to Genesis for that one. You know, Garden of Eden was perfect. Everything was there. Then when he showed up, he spoiled everything. So he doesn't only show up when things are bad. When you've done an outcome to point something to you. He shows up to scrutinize what you are doing and begin to question the word of the Lord. He begins to question God's love, God's faithfulness, and the things that your relationship with God. Do you really think that you love God? Or are you sure he loves you? That's where the question came in. So in the Garden of Eden, you had perfection, and perfection began to spoil. So if you know that something has spoiled, then the devil now comes to accuse. Because that's what we think, that we fail first, and the devil comes to accuse. I have not failed. I'm pastoring a church. I'm inside the church. I'm excited about what I'm doing. He's telling me that what I'm doing is nothing. Causing me to be depressed inside church. Really? I'm thinking, what am I even excited about? What am I even excited about? What have you even done? How many years your whole ministry worldwide international? This is where you are. I mean, if you are real, you know what I mean? He will not stop. So in the Garden of Eden, we have a case where we move from perfection to spoiling. Anytime he enters into a matter, even when it's perfect, it spoils. So don't tell me that it was because it was bad. I say as Garden of Eden was perfect, he spoils it. When devil enters, he spoils it. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Yes, so therefore, you are a Christian on your way. This truth is very vital. As I thought and I thought and I prayed, I said this truth. And he just said, teach them now. Because you are teaching prayer, the word of God. They will want somehow you will slack someday. Somehow you will not do to the maximum of what you feel you can do. And then you can do that. And then he will come and accuse you. Those accusations will not cause you to, instead of the accusations don't cause you to go forward, they cause you to stop and to even go backwards. You see what I'm saying now? Garden of Eden was one. Second scenario, when we see Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, after Jesus Christ finished fasting, he didn't do anything bad though. In fact, he just got a word. You are my son, whom I'm well pleased. The next thing we hear is, if you are the son of God. Yeah, that's the first thing. He wants to spoil everything. He has not done anything wrong. If you are really a Christian, if you say you really they pray, if God loves you, why is this thing happening? If you are loved, you know, you think a lot, you said the love of God, calabar. You really, let's stop and think about it. Once you start to stop and think about it, the devil gets you. If you are the son of God, you don't say, wait, what a question. He comes in even when there is no error. So the conversation does not need to start when you have sinned. Somebody says, so last week, I now did one thing. So I cried, pastor, you don't know what happened. Then you are now condemned. We understand that. But what about when nothing happened and you are still condemned? You are condemned because you did not go. You are condemned that but you went late. You are condemned that when you went late and still continued doing it. You didn't do it well enough. You are condemned that you did it and it's not the best you could do. You are condemned that somebody else by your side even did better than you. Jealousy gets into Christianity. I'm a pastor. I'm pastoring my church. You are a pastor. You are pastoring your church. The devil will come and use our pastoring to quarrel us. Okay, if you are a reaper, look at that guy's church now. You don't see his church. You don't see his church. The people are coming there. Look, there's a problem with you. I'm trying to make it clear. You can't escape him. If there's one thing you will know in this walk, if you are believers here right now, and you are in this walk, he will not let you go. He will find something against you. In fact, when there's nothing, he will cause deep scrutinizing. You will enter, that is what we call self-introspection. When you go into yourself and begin to find fault, last introspection, you introspect. You now say, maybe it's because when I did in church, they say the church is against the rule. You find something that is wrong with you. I mean, let me get to some of you. Maybe you just say the way I dress to church is not good enough. I may have to wear suit and tie. I mean, you can't rest. Oh. Brothers and sisters, there's no rest. Oh. And then the believer that does not understand this truth now begins to try. The moment you now begin to try to meet up to that standard, you know what he will do? He will raise it to the next one. When it raises again, when you try again, you say no, gang, and they start. You pray. Say, we real Christian. Do you think they used to sleep? If you think about somebody like Adeboye now, you think Pastor Adeboye used to sleep like you? That's why he has power. You can never have power. There can be no power in your Christian life. In short, let me tell you, give up. Just be following church quietly. Just give up. You never have power. So they can pray for you, or things will happen. Then the person that you think is not being accused, he too is being accused. It goes everywhere. You must understand that. Once you understand that, then we are going to a place. Are you here? We erroneously think that once we are on our way, he will leave us alone. He will not leave us alone. He never leaves you. In fact, you're on your way, the Garden of Eden, you're on your way like Jesus, he will come for you. There's this, you're just worthless. I said, deep scrutiny, you are going deeper. He's manipulating a message. I mean, a message that should encourage you now begins to cause you to be depressed. Huh? We are preaching something on how you should pray, how you should do this, how you should do that. I don't hear that kind of message. Some of you to not be energized and go. He will not come and say, you see what Pastor said today? Exactly. You are not there at all. I think you should not even bother. So I'm thinking that this Christian thing is not for you. This Christian thing we are talking about is not for you. If it was for you, okay, let me tell you, look at somebody like Pastor East now. You know seen Pastor East. He's a real Christian. Look at the kind of people that pastor like. You don't know that pastor don't like you. Notice it. Notice it. When pastor came, the way he greeted Benedict, he now greeted Charity. But he just now said, how are you? Ah. You see, I'll just draw back. There's a problem. I mean, the message, something that is supposed to encourage you, where we preach something of prayer, and we're teaching prayer, and we teach reading Bible and why you should and how you should do it, you get back home and say, you cannot. And he compares, takes a Christian and says, look at that person. And so, if I've not told you that the guy is accusing me, you will think that he has left me alone. Is this your church? That is this all your church? Not so rich. That you have not been preaching like this. Guy, really, really. And I mean, you have one location. You preached. You have two locations. Huh? You now have three locations. I have multiple pastors and ministers in different locations. We have people in Lagos. I received a call yesterday from my dear sister talking about somebody overseas. He needs pastor. I mean, this person, just talk to this person. I mean, doing all that, ministering here and there, talking to people there and there. Maybe we don't see. And I'm still being accused though. And then he will not use me as a standard to accuse you. And he's still telling me that I'm worthless. Yeah, where do you think you stand beside the matter? If you don't understand this thing, you will not continue. If you don't understand this thing, you just said you are an accuser. I know you. Huh? I know you. You want me to stop, Abby? I will not stop. I told him, I said, even if it's pebble. I was just saying, see your choir, see your choir. Say, see choir. Okay, now that's your choir now. How many people are in this choir? Truth, talk truth. Say, 1, 2, 3. He said, if you just, don't just tire, don't soon tire. Give them some time. Today. You didn't like the song very well, Abby. Even me too, I didn't like it very well. You like things, you try, you not try, that and stuff. I'm inside the office. You say, choir, that is your whole choir, worldwide, international. You really called your choir. You don't have anything. We'll keep singing, no. Because some people will come, somebody, we are here, and somebody sitting there and saying, the choir is there. We know. I mean, I was talking to a couple who joined us some time ago, and they said, we came to this church, we love the church, and when you came, we preached, I love the world, we just come here and said, but one thing that really disturbed us when we came, because the lady said, I like praise, I know they try, in short, he praises off and off. Say, but the word of God, I like the word of God now, so I can manage. The choir, the first day I came, drummer was going one way, I was looking at my husband, and we were just laughing, We know. Before you said it, we know. Yeah. So what should we do? We should no. We should stop. Right? What do you think? We should not stop. And you are talking that it's not good, Abi. Let me explain to you why me I'm dancing. When we started, Pastor Frank was the choir. I didn't say chorister. He was the choir. Only one man. There was no keyboard. There was no drum. It was bad. When it was bad. So, then we now moved to education, University of Benin education classroom. Then to innovate, we'll now be playing the decks. Then, we'll now play the decks to innovate. There was no drum, no keyboard, nothing. You know what I'm saying? So have we moved from one place to another place? That time too, he was condemning us so that this thing is not a church. This thing, what? The time I told you I was not in that place in Ekoso, we now have drum and keyboard. He's not saying I don't have office. I'm not nothing. See, he will not stop. If you stop, leave here and sleep off now. I've given you the message. You know him now. Huh? You caught him. He can't trick you again. So once he is accusing you, and he's even using somebody else to accuse you, or using yourself to anyhow, just know, say, I know what you want. Eh? I should, because he cannot forcefully take your hands off. He cannot cause God to leave you. God can't leave you. Nothing will do. He can't stand. He's no longer there accusing. He can't accuse you before God. God will not say, Not imagine God will not say, Alex. That's what Alex be. Yes, so. You know that picture you see set down there? Alex. It's bad. Okay. Leave me. I'll deal with you. Set down. Hey, leave it. I'm understanding. No, you can't even try it. As far as God is concerned, you are perfect. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no error in you. So what he wants to do is that he wants to separate you from God. You will not have to say, I'm a bad person. Leave me. Imagine the situation in Luke chapter number 5. Just there, so you know the story. We read it before. Where Jesus got into the Peter's boat. And after preaching from Peter's boat, he said, Peter cast your net. Peter cast his net, brought fish, and then nothing. You think Peter will not say, oh, my Lord and my Savior. He now says, Master, depart from me. I'm a man of sinful lips. What's going on here? It's always about you. You make it about yourself and how you look, and that is the devil. He will make it about you. You will even feel unworthy to even come to church. Who are you to come to church? I mean, I was speaking to the ministers, maybe they don't require just like your son. He said, oh, you are singing in church. You. Let me not reveal your secret too. That's why sometimes people don't want to step up to participate in the kingdom. Why? The devil is accusing them. The devil telling that you can't do it. When we say, come, be a minister, step up, be a pastor, help us do this. They're like, no, pastor, I just rather. Why? Because devil, they are full of accusation. I know that's too distinct. Whatever you are, you think there's no accusation here. You think there's no, this thing is not working here. It's always there. As at night, it has not stopped. We can build to, just as far as there are people who will not be satisfied, there's people that will say that. Satan too will not be satisfied. Come on. It will not stop. From that small hall to this facility, till we bought a land and built a whole church that can see 200 people built. I'm still not a pastor. I've not even started. Till I have people living, residing in Okada, he stays there, and walking the journey, and their lives are working, and ordain more pastors here and there, and their ministry, and I'm preaching here, messages going everywhere. I'm still not a pastor. When do you think I'll be a pastor? So somebody can even be here and say, you are not a pastor. I agree. But when do you think I'll be a pastor? When we started ministry, where we started. So you will not understand this. Maybe you don't understand my own accusation. When we started ministry, we printed banner. We had to go and beg for a place. We could not afford to pay rent for anywhere. Myself and Pastor Frank, how much do we have? Between ourselves. We had a banner, and then we were looking for a place to use. We even saw one place where they sell cement. Where they sell cement. They just tossed load cement inside. The place was dusty cement dust. We felt we could clean it and partition and use it. I said, fine, this cement thing will affect us, the dust of cement and everything. So we now saw a place. It's not a, you know, when we say restaurant, you might have a high view of the scene. It, Mama Put, I think we start from Buka. Yes, Buka restaurant eatery. We are in the Buka. We saw a place. And we approached the woman and said, well, pastors want to start. You know, funnily, I mean, she said, okay, no problem. I said, but I have to talk to my pastor first of all. She said, please talk to your pastor. Ah, we prayed. You know, we gave us the place. Let us place. We're there. Myself and friend, we started to do nothing. I mean, and then we share flyers through the whole place, preaching, share flyers everywhere, and all that. And then people were passing, going to church. We were sweeping. I wore suits. I don't know where that suit is now. Brown. So I wore my brown suit. I was sweeping the place. Frank was arranging the place. And then people were passing around church and saying, they don't see put church for you again. Church everywhere. They don't see put church for you. Inside this place. Ah! Ladies, three or four of them, they were very well dressed. They woke up, they will find their way inside that tent. No. They can't go there. And all that. So they were passing and they said, I mean, I felt bad. I mean, these are Christians. They're supposed to be encouraging us. I mean, there's no time I pass. I mean, I see people signing up. I don't pray. I pray that God will help them, that they'll teach the truth and people will come. And, you know, it's very bad. Nobody. And so we started service. So imagine that service. You not tell me the choir is not singing well. You're not serious. Imagine that service. We started the service because we started service. But we said service start by 8. Nobody has come. Nobody. Only me and Frank. So, well, what do? We start. Kalabaya. We are praying. I said, let's pray. We are praying. I didn't have pulpit though. It's one of the tables they used to eat that put our soup in. Yeah, I mean, just try. You sometimes it might be hard, but just try. So we say praying, Kalabaya Kala. You know, praying. Then I pray, we're looking out. I saw somebody coming. It was coming. It's there's nothing here, it's only us. It's coming this way. Frank, stop. Amen. Let's start the service again. So I'll start service again. We have to restart. So I look as if we just started. Because service has gone. We've gone to the prayer. I should just start teaching the word. And so let's start. Stop. And now I was leading. So I now stopped. And when he now started praying, Lord, as we come there, the word, pray. He now really came in. I said, oh, God has done it for us. And somebody came. One person. First service, one person. Worldwide, international, one. And then he wrote on his sleeve. He wrote on his sleeve, I love the vision, because what I want to preach Greek and Hebrew is not to share the vision that this is a great church. You are sharing a great church inside this place with only you, me, one. To the left, to the right, only me. God, I don't enter trouble. One chance night, I'm running from this church. You would think that's what he's thinking. But he wrote, he said, I love the vision of the church. And he kept on coming. You know, and then he kept on coming. I mean, that's the service. So imagine me. Can you imagine me there? And imagine me in that same place a year and a half to 2 years later. We've entered the place. It's our own place. Come on. As far as I'm concerned, I'm over anointed. Oh, anointing wants to finish my head. That boy is not there telling me that I'm not doing anything. I mean, when does he rest? When does he let it go? He wouldn't see. I mean, the best is this message, just to tell you that, make it clear that he will never let you go. I mean, if you look at your walk with God, you've come from some place. You are not super, say, flying Superman around in the whole place and saving the whole world. But you are a believer loving Jesus. And you have come from where you were to where you are right now. Don't let the devil condemn you. And don't let him make you stop. Right? Don't let him make you stop. He will belittle your efforts. He will question God's instruction. He will instill doubt in your heart. If you are the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. He wants to instill doubt, make you feel that something is wrong somewhere. He wants to say, by your situation, if God is with you, by now you should have been here. He will just bring something, he will stalk. He will speak a lie, turn it upside down, accuse you for an error that you did not, nothing for you did not make, even for the slightest error. For your imperfection, I said something very powerful. I said he will emphasize weakness. That is the devil. Nobody is saying you are not weak. Nobody is saying this is your 100% best. But come on. The Holy Spirit don't do that. There's a difference. We'll progress in this teaching. The Holy Spirit don't do that. You see now. But the devil does that. He would emphasize your weakness. When the Holy Spirit is speaking, he will emphasize your strength. He will emphasize the love of God for your life. He will show you Jesus. He will magnify Jesus. When the devil is speaking, he will magnify you and leave Jesus somewhere. And when he starts hearing you and what you have done and how you did not do it right, you have to be able to tackle the devil. So today, let me give you a key to help you. in Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. Paralyzing guilt. The guilt will be paralyzing. Huh? Paralyzing guilt. Guilt, where you are now feel the weight of the guilt causes you not to move on. You get that? Guilt paralyzes you. Instead of you to now read the Bible with enthusiasm, you are now reading, let me just read, maybe nothing is happening. Maybe all this time you are reading, nothing has been happening. Maybe you fall into the same sin of before, of last year, last week. Maybe after you pray, you now point to say, it didn't work, it's useless, you throw it away, just let this thing go. I mean, this is where you tell him, just like I told him, I don't tell you. I mean, that's the truth. And there's no kiliba. I just say, see, even if it's me, that is all ministry, is just to be pebble inside your shoe, that at least when you are walking devil, you will not be comfortable. Hey, that's me. Somebody else can be giving you punch. Oh, Yilekpo is giving you punch. Kumuyi can give you punch. Me, I can't give you punch. Yeah, I'm a small boy. But I will make you uncomfortable. I'm not going to let this thing go. So you know, child, you just have to know and then resist that accuser and say no. This I will press on. I will keep on this journey. That's the way you make progress on this journey. I've made progress from that time till now, and we are still making progress. Amen. Come on, we are still making progress. We are still making great progress. Great progress. Great progress. Glory to God. At our right hand is our accuser, but at God's right hand is our advocate. Desiring God. John Piper. At our right hand is our accuser, but at God's right hand is our advocate. Who is at God's right hand is more important than who is at my right hand. I like that word. It says at our right hand is our accuser, but at God's right hand is our advocate. And who is at God's right hand is more important than who is at my right hand. So while the devil is accusing you, you must look to Jesus. The Bible says he is the author and the finisher of our faith. That's in Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse number 2. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. So it is not about me, it's about Jesus. I must look to Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. It's not about me. Don't let the devil magnify you and what you are doing. Always magnify Jesus and what he has done. That is the only way you can make progress. Jesus magnified. It is not what you did that brought you into this place. It is what Jesus Christ did. Come on. It is not who you are, but who he is. Come on. In Romans chapter 4, please go to Romans chapter 4 first. I will do this and then I'll come back to where we are. In Romans chapter 4 and verse number 25. It says, go to verse number 24. Okay, go to 23. Let's see what's there. Let's just start from here. And now, this is not where I'm going. I'm going to 25, but I want to give you a context. And now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. Next verse. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Next verse. Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses, and was raised again for our justification. So when it comes to you and make it look as though you were inside somewhere, you say no. Our offenses, Jesus Christ died for our offenses. That's the beginning. Right? At the end, he rose up again for our justification. We are just inside the matter enjoying it. Right? This will lead us into very important conversations next week and upper week, but let's enjoy this first of all. He was delivered for our offenses, and he was raised again for our justification. So when the devil tries to put something on you, you say, it's not actually on me. Go and try and put it on Jesus Christ. Right? I did not pray enough. It's not prayer that brought me into this house. You did not read Bible enough. It's not read Bible that brought me into this house. Come on. Reading Bible does not justify you. Being a Christian for 5 years does not justify you. Come on. Being a pastor is not your justification. If we ordain you minister of the whole world, you are still not justified by it. You are not going to be qualified by the things of what you do in church. He was delivered up for your offenses, and he rose up again for your justification. So you are inside the matter, enjoying it, but it's all about Jesus Christ. So when he tries to accuse you when there's fault, you can cast it to Jesus. And when you are making progress and it's not as if this is 100%, you still take it to Jesus, because it was never about you in the first place. We must never move from where it is not about us at the beginning to where we now becomes about us now. So as a pastor, is it about me, or is it still about Jesus Christ? It's still about Jesus Christ. It's about Jesus Christ forever. Are you here? Hallelujah. Jesus Christ, our advocate. In Romans chapter number 8. This will help your work, right? So all those accusations, you know how to deal. You just deal with them now. Don't even bother. This is not about saying, nah, you don't discuss with him. You don't now start say, if I now pray more, maybe he will calm down. If you pray 2 hours, he will say you would have gone 3 hours. If you pray 4, you would have gone 5. Jesus Christ prayed all night. Have you forgotten? He will put you Jesus against yourself. See, he says your elder brother, be. Elder brother. Yeah, exactly. So you hear a message of Jesus is your elder brother. That's supposed to encourage you to stay under his wings. He will not say, you see? And you have the same life that he has. Are you sure you have the same life? But look at your life. Look at the way you are behaving. Look at how you are behaving. Look at yourself. Then you two will now start looking and not get into trouble. Romans chapter number 8, verse number 31. Let's do this, and I'll call it today. Then we'll come and finish up next week by God's grace, as he helps us. Amen? Yeah. What shall we say then to these things? This is the question. If God be for us, the issue when we take this scripture, we use it for our enemies and bad people that want to kill us, it's not a bad thing. It's revelation. It's correct. It's a question. You can take it and use it. His real thought is what will be revealed in the next verses going down. The who is what he's asking now. Now, God is on our side. We are on the same side with God. He's saying, who can be against us? Not talking about just men or people who are against us, like enemies in the village. In quotes. And that's the only way I could get to them. You know what I'm talking about. If I say enemies, your first thought, go to your village. I'm pitying for you. If you still have that kind of nonsense thoughts. Next verse. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Leave God. God is not in this matter. It's free. It's him that did not spare his son and gave his son for us. Next verse. Now, when he says, who shall lay anything? You see now, the who is talking about. He says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? He's not talking about people in your village. The who he's talking about is the devil. So, you can at least say that use of that scripture is wrong in that direction. It's a revelation, and you can use it. You can take it, like I'm teaching you now, for power. But I'm saying, in the context of Paul's discussion, this is what he's talking about. Who shall lay anything against anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justified. Next verse. Who is he that condemneth? You see it now? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God? Who also maketh. The matter is deep here. This scripture is deep. It first says now, it says God, first of all. He says, listen, let's tell this whole matter. God is the one that justifies. So it is God. I mean, he just takes him in his own class and puts him there. When he gets to Christ, he shows us the picture from beginning to ending. He said, who is he that condemneth? He said, it is Christ that died. Yeah, wait, oh. Rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God? who also what maketh intercession for us. So what are you saying here? You say, who are you saying here? When the devil is coming against you, this is your defense. I want to begin to give you your defense. I think I've given you enough points to show you the devil will continue to accuse you. Devil will accuse you. I'm beginning your defense now. This is your defense. You know, be you call me, call ministry. The God will call me, call ministry. My, they preach. If they here now, they happy for me. You know, if you accuse me. Do you understand that? You, your defense is not you. Don't back us that to say yourself. Remember when I told you, you said, I said, I plead the blood of Jesus. I did not plead right. I did not plead wrong. I'm not going to play a plea. Oh, I'm guilty. Guilty or not guilty? Eh? Follow you to that one. I'm not even in the matter. Eh? Just ask the blood of Jesus. I don't want to. I say, not guilty. Not guilty. The devil will find something. 4 hours prayer should be 5. Is that not the case, my Lord? You will still be in trouble. So, I got my Lord. Eh? Just blood of Jesus. Take it to the blood. And you see the blood tell you, I stand. And the blood of Jesus speaketh better things than the blood of Abel. So, you will always be free. So, you come to your defense. When the accuser comes, this, your defense is this. Listen, it is God that justifies. So, the God, pata of the whole matter, the King and the Lord, the Creator of heaven and earth, he is the one that waved up the matter and said, go. Let's leave him one side. But let's take Jesus. Jesus is the one now that can stand and condemn you. Because when he met the woman caught in adultery, he said, who are those that condemn you? He said, no, he said, neither do I condemn you. So Jesus now, if he wants to condemn, he could be the one that said, Namida, okay, I want to take my blood from him. He's the only one. Jesus, God has justified. But he said, oh God, that guy you justified, I don't want again. So who is it that justified in this prison one side? Then he said, who is it that condemned me? He said, it is Christ that died. I like the progressive nature of Paul's conversation. He says he died, but that is not enough. He rose up again. That is not enough. He says even. Even. You know when you use that word even, you know I use the word even. Who is even at the right hand of God? Who also now maketh intercession for us? So if you want to get the person who is condemning you, it can never come from his side. It's coming from one place. The devil. He wants to accuse you and bring condemnation. And so you will say, all the important people, all the people that matter. So you go back to that verse. If God be for us, what shall we say to these things? What shall we say to these things? If God be on my side, the blood of Jesus speaks for me. Jesus Christ died, rose again for me. I mean, who can be against me? Nothing. So I am free to continue my progress in my walk with God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. My thought is, you should know, and I'm sure you know, that the devil will keep coming at you. Come on, are you here? No matter what you do. So you say, I'm a Christian pastor, I'm studying my work, I'm in church, I give and all that, I'm praying. When you give, say, pastor, you're giving the rich. Could you not give him more? Truthfully. You have money now, you give more. You know, you give your best, you do that stuff, and then you say, but, come on. You will never be enough. He will come for you. You must know that he will come for you. You are praying now, your prayer will not be enough, you are whatever you do not be enough. But it's Christ that died. Yeah, he's risen again. And it is this same Christ that is speaking and interceding for you right now. And so you can stand on that and you can begin to make your progress on that ground. Next week I'll show you some more light. Amen? Yeah. Father, we give you praise. Father, we give you praise. Will you bow your heads today? Say, Father, I thank you for your word. The devil is a liar. He wants to distract and he wants to deceive. He wants to also accuse and condemn. But now in the name of Jesus, I know the place, I know where I am, I know who I am. I know that I am here by the blood of Jesus Christ. I know it is Christ that died for me, and yes, he's risen again. I will not leave this walk. I will not stop what I am doing. I will not stop. He will tell you that you are guilty. He will tell you that there is error in your life. He will say you are not perfect. You will say, yes, I am not perfect. I am not perfect, but it is Christ that died for me. You say, Jesus Christ loves me the way I am. Jesus Christ is not condemning me. The only person that can condemn me is Jesus. And Jesus is not condemning me. So right now, Satan, get lost. Satan, get lost. In the name of Jesus. Yes, I will continue to serve. I will continue to read my Bible. I will continue to be a Christian. I will not let go. In the name of Jesus, I will continue to do what I am doing. In the name of Jesus, I will continue. Come on. You say, Lord, first Father, I will continue. From this meeting, Lord, I will never let the accuser get the better of me. The accuser will never get the better of me. No, he will not weaken my resolve. In the name of Jesus, Rito Beketa Lamayatos. Rue Meka Dele Kosha. Lama Nokosu de Libre Kodo Sola. Kalemo Soto Rimakea. I will continue. Come on. Believers, I'm speaking to you today. You stand and you pray and you say, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Kalepo Suteri, Kalamako Sotorimaka, Yutoboko Setelemakaya. I will continue in the name of Jesus. Liko Bande Rigose, Jutombra de Kasalabayata, Kalamayate. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Let me tell you something. The devil wants you to stop. For he wants you to stop. He wants you to say you are not doing this thing again. That's what he wants. I've told you, you know, maybe sometime I was teaching, I was sharing this direction. When he says, when he was this tortoise thing, he said, put in here, he says, nobody hot water, they kill me. You know, it's a story. There's a story we had when we were young. But if the prayer is not working, the prayer is not good enough. Logic, I'm on logic now. If the prayer is not, 2 hours is not enough, it's supposed to be 3. How it affects you? Come on. It should be good now. The devil should be encouraging you to continue to pray 2 hours. But instead, he wants you to stop even the 2 hours. Say 2 hours is not enough. Come on, you get the point? He said you are reading Bible, it's not enough. Okay, if it's one chapter I've read for the past 2 days, how it affects you? So I should not read at all. No. If it doesn't affect you, why are you bothered? Why is the devil bothered? If your striving is useless. If the ministry that we led 8 years ago, 7 years ago, that we're leading and pushing forward that time is useless, why was he bothered? Come on. Why was he bothered? It was actually working. This your pressure you are putting is actually working. This is your commitment that you made. This commitment that you made, that you think you say you are failing the commitment. This commitment is actually working. It's building you small. And because he sees that it's building you, he's trying to make sure you stop by bringing guilt and shame. Are you here? So, one resolve. I remember I told you, I think when I said something, I told you this before. Dear man of God, I was in a leadership meeting. And he said something. He said, the devil wants me to stop. And if I stop, he would win. And so, even if me too I'm tired, I'm not so excited. He said, I will continue just so that the devil will not win. So, you are praying today. This is my Christian resolve. This is my commitment. This is my this focus. This is my desire. I know I'm not beating needs or that world, but I will not stop it. I will continue to strive. I will continue to pray. I will continue on this path. You are praying right now. You say, my feet is planted on the right path. I am not going back. No turning back, no stopping. In the name of Jesus, I continue on this path. Small by small, little drops of water make a mighty ocean. Little drops of water make a mighty ocean.
So I'm going to continue praying. I'm going to continue giving. I'm going to continue fasting. I'm going to continue on this way. In the name of Jesus, wherever you are right now, I want you to pray. I want you to say, in the name of Jesus, I stand on the word of God. I stand in the love of my God. I stand because Jesus Christ died and rose again for me. I stand because Jesus is right now at the right hand of the Father making intercession for me. And I say, I will not stop. There's somebody who loves me. There's somebody who wants me to keep going on. And I look to him. I look to Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. In the name of Jesus, I will never quit this journey. I will never stop this journey. In the name of Jesus, no matter what happens, no matter the accusation, no matter the accusation of the devil, no matter the accusation of the devil, in the name of Jesus, no matter the condemnation, no matter how he wants me to, how he wants to do it, no matter how he, in the name of Jesus, Rekubate Lima Nekea Ragito Betaya Ite Manakaya Iteru Maneko Zita Le Manoko. Winners never quit. Quitters never win. Hey, come on. I keep pressing on. I will never stop. In the name of Jesus, Yela Poko Teri Manaka Jatara. Oh, I keep going on. I keep going on. I keep going on. Satan, your accusation has ended today. You cannot win over me. No more, no more, no more. No more, no more. No more. Yes. How many times you have gotten the better of me? How many times? No, no, no. No, never again. Never again. Never again. I will continue on this path. I will continue on this path. Shadalabaka sotodi mokoso, jiteri makalababaso, jekodombe lokoso lemaha. Little drops of water, come on. Even my Bible is little drops of water. Even my Bible reading is little drop of water. Even my fervency is little drop of water. It will make a mighty ocean. Come on. It will make a mighty ocean. Jesus. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father encouraging you. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father encouraging you. Come on. You say, in the name of Jesus, Rata Bikole, Zunteke Balaka, Hey Adenaya, I do not stop. Accuse me all you want. Accuse me all you like. I will not stop. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. I know now. Come on. I know now. I know now. Oh, Rabayata. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. My feet planted on the right path. I keep marching. Come on. Oh, Galeboko Setele Bakara Bahaya Labobo Setele Bohoso. Riketo le moko le bahaya. Oh la babaya. Shalawa karedosi. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, when somebody wants to learn to ride a bicycle, he makes a commitment to learn to ride a bicycle. I want to learn. He gets on the bicycle. And then before he takes pedals twice, he falls down. What should he do? He should just say, it's all over. Come on. He gets up again, right? You were encouraging to get up again and continue. Let's go forward. Let's say he now continues. He's no longer falling, but his hand is still shaking somehow. You know what I'm talking about? He's not good. He cannot make all the turns. When you get on a bicycle, you just make some turns, do some things, and all that. And then guess what? He looks at you, he's like, wow. Look at all those thoughts and all those things he could do. Now he can ride. He's no longer falling, you know. But he's still, his friend is saying, imagine a friend is now saying, you can't make all those thoughts now. You can't do all those things. Just quit on the riding. Don't even continue. Would it make sense to you? You will remind him. You say, when you were started, you were even falling. Now you are not falling. Now your hand is shaking, right? Now you are scared. When you are low, but you are no longer falling. you encourage that person to keep going on. Little by little, you say, one day you should become like this. You still get better. Come on. That's how it should be. So when we start on, we're on this journey and we are pressing on, the devil will keep accusing us. You come from a place. You are not the way you used to be before. That desire, somebody say, Pastor, I still do bad things. That desire before, when you are done, when you are done, you come out free of your mind. But right now, when you are done, there's something in your heart. Something is telling you, this thing is not so. This thing you are doing is not so. Come on. That's progress. That's progress. That means the Holy Spirit is in you. Say, do you have Holy Spirit? Look at what you did. Do you have Holy Spirit? But you see, he's accusing you. But the Holy Spirit is the one telling you, this thing is not so. And you feel something. Somebody say, now I can feel something. If you can feel something now, you are making progress. There was a time you were not feeling anything before. So the time you do this thing and just walk away. And like, But now you are broken. Devil now say, let me tell you, don't go to church this Sunday. Hush, devil is a liar. Yeah. He now says, don't go to church this Sunday. How does going to church, this where you are supposed to go and meet your Savior who loves you, he will now say, can you not see what you did? Don't bother. Why I say don't bother you? If it doesn't kill him, then let me go. But he will don't want you to come. So even at that, there is progress. The heart is now more sensitive. That's progress. Come on. You can't cook stone, and the stone will become soft. He said, I will turn your heart from the heart of stone to the heart of flesh. You have moved. So right now there is a heart of flesh, I can now speak to him. I cannot touch him. Before I could not touch them. They were just stone. Now I can touch them. Now your heart is now heart of flesh. You have already made progress. The accuser, the devil is an accuser. You know that now, right? I said you have been liberated. In the name of Jesus, I pray for you. You will continue to grow in your walk with God. I speak the word of God over your life. Your feet is planted on the path of righteousness. In the name of Jesus, the accuser has lost concerning you. In the mighty name of Jesus, you are God's, and all of you, children of the Most High. You stand in your high place and you execute judgment on the earth. In the name of Jesus, yes, all of you children of God, you are growing in Christ. Yet the accuser has lost his place in you. In the mighty name of Jesus, there is no quitter now. All of you striving forward, going forward in your walk with God. In the name of Jesus, you are making progress in your walk with God. You are seeing greater glory in your walk with God. In the name of Jesus, by the Spirit, I move you to a greater dimension. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The accuser has lost. The accuser has lost now. You found your thank you, Lord. I'm getting joy. Yes. That joy is alive again in your heart. In the name of Jesus. Where there has been condemnation, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Where there has been condemnation and depression, right now I say your joy is restored. In the name of Jesus, there's somebody here. This message is tailored for you. You have been depressed. You have been feeling that he's speaking to your heart and he's making you depressed. You even managed to come. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And I speak to you right now by the power of God. Where there was depression before, there is joy now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. You become stronger and stronger. In the name of Jesus. This week, you are flying higher and higher. In the name of Jesus. Yes, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I and they that God has given me, we are for signs and wonders. In the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody give God praise in the house. Thank you, Lord.